If you have your Bible today, stand up and raise your Bible above your head. Bear witness of God's Word. Beautiful. All right. As you're seated today and you begin to open your Bible, I'd like you to close your cell phone. Unless you're reading your Bible on your cell phone, if you would at this time, cut your cell phone to mute just so that it doesn't disrupt the service. If you could just do that in reverence to the Lord, I'd appreciate it. I know He will. I want you to turn to John chapter 6. If you find your place, say, I have it. John chapter 6. When I was about 10 years old, I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. I heard the gospel. Before that, I had been taught about God. I'd been taught about doing right and wrong. I'd been taught the system that the church that I went to had taught, which means that you learn educationally about everything that God has done, and you're able to complete a course to where you're able to, as a school test, be able to recite back those things. You're able to do a couple of different projects, and once you do all those things, then you are actually told by those that help you get through this process and educate you, and you're told by them that you are actually confirmed Christian. You have accepted Jesus as your Savior by going through this process and doing this. And I think it's a wonderful process. I think that process educates you about God. I think it's wonderful, all the knowledge that you can get about God. At the same time, the thing that has to be taught is that it is not something that you just mentally grasp. It's not an educational opportunity. It's something that you have to make a personal decision about. It is not something that you can just spit back out the information and say, okay, what do I have to do this time? What do I have to do this time? A lot of times when that happens, there's no actual intimate relationship that begins because it is such a systematic procedure that you go through. So at 10 years old, I was put in a situation to where I heard the gospel for the first time. I had heard that Jesus Christ died for me. I'd celebrated Christmas. I'd been, I could even tell you the Bible stories. But I hadn't been told that there needed to be a time in my life when I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, that me and me alone, in an intimate conversation, needed to cry out to God and say, God, I realize I'm a sinner. And my sin separates me from you. And I believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins as the only sacrifice since He never sinned. I want to use His death, His burial, His resurrection. I want you to forgive me of my sins. I'm confessing. I believe in Jesus Christ. And I want to accept Him as my Savior. I want to live for Him. I want Him to be my Lord. I want to be His servant. Now, you don't have to say it in those exact words, but that is exactly what you are doing when you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. At that particular time, what God had done was to be able to work in my life in the many different ways, orchestrating my life in many different areas so that I would get to the place to where I would hear the gospel. Even if He worked through my parents' life and through what happened in their life to put me in a place where I could hear the gospel. But at that point in time, God's work was not done. Once I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, even at that age, I sang in a little booster choir, only for a year because at about 11, I got too cool to sing in it. But I was still singing in it. I was singing in it probably at 10 or right at 11 years old. And we sang a song. And for some reason, this song began to stick in my mind and stick in my mind. And as I thought about the song, I began to see that, hey, there's a direct correlation here with some things that are going on in my life. Here's the song. It's called He's Still Working on Me. Does anybody ever remember singing the little song, He's Still Working on Me? Now, I'm not going to sing it because I don't want to take away from you hearing the words of it. Now, I know you'd be focused on me singing it and this and that kind of thing. So just preaching today. We're going to let the words speak for themselves, okay? The chorus says, He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be. He's still working on me. That's the chorus. How many people have sang that? If you think about how deep the words are to this, all right? It let me know. I began to think about this thing. It let me know. He's still working on me. It took him just a week to make the complete solar system, the moon, the stars, this whole earth, everything he created. 1 week. But he's still working on me? What kind of project am I to him? And what kind of care, must he have for me to still be working on me? To make me what I ought to be? Well, I think maybe I am what I ought to be. Then why is he still working on me? The simplest little song began to just resonate in my head, and then I thought about the other verses. The verse here, there really ought to be a sign upon my heart. Don't judge me yet, there's an unfinished part. But I'll be perfect just according to his plan, fashioned by the Master's loving hands. Second verse, in the mirror of his word, reflections that I see make me wonder why he never gave up on me. He loves me as I am and helps me when I pray. Remember, he's the potter, I'm the clay. You go back to thinking about Jeremiah, sing about going to the potter's house, being the clay that the potter works with, and God being the potter. He works to form us and make us, but it's a lot deeper than that. And I want you to understand this morning that there is work that God is doing in all of our lives every single day. And unfortunately, we get so involved in life that we miss his work. Oh, the work still goes on, but we don't even acknowledge it. In the Old Testament, we see that God continually was working for mankind. I mean, all the way from creation. As we stated, he made the sun and the moon and the earth and the stars and Jupiter and Mars, as the song sings. He made everything. He made the trees, he made the fish, he made the land, he made air. He made everything for man to sustain man, then he made man. So he was working from the beginning for us. And then he loved us enough to give us companionship, so he worked on that. And then after man was established here, he wanted man to realize that he was God. So then he began to reveal himself to man in many different ways. He revealed himself to man by miracles, by putting man in different dilemmas or situations. His motivation for working for man so that man would come to him and trust him and believe him as God and worship him. That's his motivation. He wanted fellowship with man. So you're with me so far, right? So how does God work for us? You say, I'm working for God. I want to tell you something. God's working for you. He's been working on you and working on me for a long time, just like the song says. I think we think of work as something that we see this finished product here, this physical finished product. But the way God works on man, I'll put it simply to you. He works on man by putting man in different situations where we see him. He reveals himself to us. Have you ever witnessed something that you just could not understand? It defied logic and you thought, this has to be God. Amen. Yeah, right? Yeah. He was working on you then. Have you ever been in a situation to where you were faced with a dilemma that you just could not understand? Maybe it was a medical dilemma where the doctor had told you something and you were just like, I can't believe this is happening. Maybe it was a situation that was brought upon by some action that you did. Maybe it was a financial situation. Maybe it was a dilemma as simple as I can't get into the class I'm wanting to get into. I can't get the job that I want to get to. this didn't happen in my life like I wanted it to. And so you realize, okay, this plan is falling to pieces and I don't know what I'm going to do. And so I'm going to have to turn to God. So even in the bad thing, guess what he's doing? He's working on you. He's revealing himself to you. Little situational, logistical things to where he gears your life to go somewhere or go this way, this place. Just like I told you, my dad got saved listening to a radio broadcast in his truck at work. Dr. Oliver B. Green, praise the Lord for Dr. Green. The years passed, preached to him. He was convicted of his sin. He came home and he said, we are going to do this as a family. So God was working on my life through the little details where he was working on my dad's life. Working on us. Whether it be something that you can see in some praise or maybe it's a dilemma in your life. The reason that he works on us is so that we can see him. He can reveal himself to us. If you look in the Old Testament, you'll see there's place after place where God was working on people, revealing himself to them. Just for example, if you take the children of Israel, which left Egypt out of bondage. And you remember Pharaoh, you had all the different plagues that came and Pharaoh released the children of Israel. Well, there's a situation where God revealed himself to them in Egypt. Only God could turn the water to blood. Only God could make a plague of frogs. Only God could cause darkness to come. Only God could just stamp out the sun. Only God could cause the firstborn in each house to die. Only God. So God revealed himself to them, right? Praise, and they let them go. At the same time, God was revealing himself to the Egyptians. Who is this God that can do this? So then they leave Israel and leave Egypt, and they're going to the promised land. And God wanted to give them something and reveal himself to them more. And as they got to the Red Sea, all of a sudden, they had what we have in life, problems. And so they began to complain. Here we are. We've reached the Red Sea. We cannot pass. We're going to die. It would have been better to die in Egypt than it would have been to die out here in the desert with our family. And there's millions of us. And Moses, you've led us here. And so it's the biggest dilemma. Where is God working now? He's working to get you to that dilemma. Why? So that he can part the sea. And so he can reveal himself to you in the praise again. Here's God. I see God. God's the one that did this again. So life is a series of God working on you through dilemma and from dilemma to miracle. But all of it is God working, orchestrating your life. And even the little in-between things. I think about Elijah and the different miracles that Elijah was able to do that just blew people's minds. Well, those things that he was able to do were not just miracles for those people. Let me put it this way. Let's take Daniel. Daniel, we know Daniel. We usually put this phrase with Daniel. Daniel where? In the lion's den. Now, when God rescued Daniel from the lion's den, who did he do that miracle for? Of course, we say Daniel, right? But do you realize that God didn't just reveal himself to Daniel? God revealed himself to all those people who were watching Daniel. That's how he does it. God's working in all kind of various situations. You take the three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. They were thrown into the fiery furnace. They trusted God. They would not bow to the image. And they said, well, throw them in the furnace. The king said, throw them in the furnace. Nebuchadnezzar, throw them in the furnace, right? So as they threw them in the furnace, the people that threw them in the furnace was so hot that they didn't drop them. The people burned up that threw them in there. That's how hot it was. As they dropped them in there, you think God was really working in their lives because we know they hit the bottom of that furnace and they didn't burn up. They were walking around there. God was working in their life. No, he was working in their life. That's the easy answer. Guess whose life he was working in? The king that threw them in there said, what kind of God can save them? We're going to pay homage to this God. Guess who God was working on? It's not always the person that's being delivered. It's the person that's watching the person be delivered. And even in the problem, that's God working. You go to the New Testament and you see Jesus' mission was to come and work for God. All of his actions that he ever did were examples of God working in our lives. Jesus began to do miracles as soon as he came onto the scene and his ministry started. The first miracle we see was in John chapter 2, the wedding feast at Cana of Galilee, and he turned the water into wine. Now think about it. He turned the water into wine. That's something that just couldn't be done. I mean, it takes age. It takes a process, and he was able just to do it. He defied even the time scale of time. Who could do this? Nobody could do it. It must be God. He revealed himself. He began to work. If you go down through the New Testament, you'll see in John chapter 4, Jesus healed the nobleman's son who was at the point of death. John chapter 5, the miracle of the great catch of fish, where he saw these guys out fishing. They haven't caught anything all night. He said, cast your net over here and you'll catch all these fish. And they caught all these fish and they didn't hesitate. They were able to say, nobody could do this. You must be God. He made them disciples and said, hey, from now on, you won't be fishers of fish. You'll be fishers of men. You remember that miracle? You know why? Because he revealed himself to them. That's what he does. He makes the ununderstandable happen. How could this happen? Have you ever heard somebody say, listen, now by all reason, I should be dead, or from all reason, this shouldn't have happened, but it happened, and all of a sudden they said, God must have done it, right? He's doing that stuff all the time. He reveals himself to us. Jesus healed people with leprosy. Luke 7, he healed the centurion's servants, healed the centurion servant. Another time in Luke 7, he healed the widow's son that was raised from the dead. Do you remember this? Most people think when I say, who did Jesus raise from the dead? Immediately you say, who? Lazarus. Luke chapter 7. Let me read Luke chapter 7 to you just for a minute, because we always think, yeah, I remember who Jesus raised from the dead. Well, maybe you've forgotten about this one. Verse 11, it says, and it came to pass the day after that he went into the city called Nain, and many of his disciples were with him, and much people. Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said unto her, weep not. And he came and touched the bier, which is the same as a casket. And they that bare him stood still. And he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother. And there came fear on all, and they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen up from among us, and that God hath visited his people. So let me explain this, because I'm trying to set the groundwork here. This young man was his mother's only son. His mother was a widow. She had nobody else. She was mourning and weeping and wailing because her son had died. They were carrying his casket through the street. Jesus, it says in the beginning, when he came to the gate of the city, there was a dead man being carried out. Now, if you read verse 1, it says, he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and much people. Can I paint the scene for you? Jesus is coming to this city. His disciples are with him, and much people. So there's a bunch of people, right? The widow is coming this way. And it says the widow is coming, and they're carrying her son. And you know who's with her? Great many people, much people. So as they meet, Jesus meets. He sees her. He has compassion on her. Who's he getting ready to work on? We think her. It says he came to her after he raised her dead son. He touched the casket and he said, get up. The son sat up and began to talk and said, hey, what's everybody doing? What's going on? They began to praise God, and he took her son, and brought her son back to her. You say, man, he was working in her life. No. Remember the much people and the much people? You say, how do you figure that? I think this because of verse 17. It says, and the rumor of him went forth throughout all Judea and throughout the region about. What was God doing? He was revealing himself to man through his son Jesus, and the news began to spread. Everything that Jesus did, every miracle that Jesus did was about him revealing God to man, the power of God to man. In Luke 4, he used his power and authority to cast a demon out of a man. Another time in Luke 4, he healed Peter's mother-in-law. He healed a paralytic man, a disabled man. He healed a man with a withered hand. He calmed the sea by commanding the sea and the wind to cease. Are you kidding me? Why did he do that? To reveal God to man. In Luke 8, he spoke to Jairus, his daughter, raised her from the dead at the same time. The same time he healed a woman with an issue of blood, all she had to do was touch the hem of his garment. Why? Was he working in their lives? Yes, he was working in their lives, but everybody's life. So immediately, people began to follow. And then we get to John 6, where I had you to turn. And we know this miracle. We've talked about it before. What Jesus did was mind-blowing. As he began to travel, and you know the story, he got to a certain place and he told the disciples, hey guys, let's go up here. I need to clear my mind. And as they looked down on the crowd, they saw this throng of people. And Jesus turns to his disciples and he's going to start working on them. What do you mean working on them? He's going to give them a dilemma. Do you know that God works on us sometimes by giving us a dilemma? Listen, he works on us by giving us the dilemma. Not by doing the miracle, but by giving us the dilemma. He says, hey guys, these people are hungry. We're going to need to feed them. Well, you've read the story. What do you mean we're going to have to feed them? There's no way we could feed them. We don't have the money. We would have to go into town and nobody's got money. And here's the situation. Isn't that the way we get? What's going to happen? That's our mind. And Jesus said, hey, go and see who's got something. You know what Jesus knew? Hey, there's a little fella down there. Hold on. I was working in his life this morning when I let him catch some fish. I was working in his mom's life the night before when I told her to, hey, fix some bread and send it with him. So he has 5 loaves and 2 fish. And Jesus knows it. And they came back and they said, listen, your plan's sunk. There's no way. We got a kid here that's got a couple of fish and some bread. And I mean, we just can't do it. It's not going to happen. He said, take the fish and take the bread and break them up and disperse them and give them. They took them up and brought them back and had baskets full left. And so all of a sudden you're thinking, okay, who was God working on? Well, God, first of all, was working on the disciples because they had to sit there and say, hey, I don't know how it happened. God, that was just you. Hey, I saw God work today. Then you have to look at the people that said, 5 loaves, 2 fish, we saw them, divide them. How do we get 12 baskets? We didn't have 12 baskets before we started. How do we take this food up? So God was working on the people, and God was working on the little boy. He was working on all those things. Why? So that God would be revealed to all those people. Now, interestingly enough, I'm not going to talk about the story of that. I'm going to talk about the beginning of the story. Whereas we always preach on the story, there were some verses that stuck out to me which otherwise would be skipped over. I want you to listen to these two verses as John 6 begins. It says, after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him. Listen, they followed him because they saw his miracles which he did on them that were diseased. Why were they following him? Pretty simple answer. I just read it. Because they what? Because they saw the miracles that he did on them that were diseased. They saw God revealing himself to others. Do you know that people rarely see God when everything goes right, do they? Now, when you get right with the Lord, you'll see God when things go right. As soon as they go right, you'll be able to say, Lord, I know you're doing this. But I can say throughout my life, maybe you're different. Throughout my life, you know when I see God? When the bottom falls out and I see him put things back together. That's when I see God. After these things went over, Jesus went over to the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. What we need to see today is that there was a purpose to the miracles that Jesus was performing other than just to work on the people that he was doing the miracles for. God is working, but not just for the people that you hear people say, God did this for me, God did this for me. Because do you know that when I was away from the Lord, the way that I came back to the Lord was that God put somebody in my life that I happened to be around that kept acknowledging God and say, God had done this for me and God did this for me and this is what I... So I was seeing what God did in their life and I was thinking, I'm a child of that God. I'm a child of that God, but I'm not with... I'm a child of that God. Hey, he's doing it. I'm a child of that God. He keeps revealing himself to me through that other guy for what he's doing for that guy. And then I saw that guy go through a hard situation, but he kept his peace. And I'm thinking, what's going on with him? He's got that peace like I used to have, and I don't have it anymore. God, take me back. I saw God revealed through that. So again in my life, God was working, orchestrating everything, right? You see, sometimes we think to ourselves as Christians, only the Christians of this world are going to experience the miracle of God. Only the Christians of this world are going to experience the unexplainable things that God does. But I want to tell you something. God doesn't just do the miracles. God doesn't just work only in believers. God's continually revealing himself to unbelievers. We think as Christians sometimes we think, hey, you need to get saved so God will work in your life. If you're not saved and you're listening today, God's working in your life right now. You know what he's working to do? He's working to bring you to him. So sometimes we have this sanctimonious, pharisaical mindset that says we are the Christians in this world and so we know that God will do this for us. Listen, God blew my mind when I was an unbeliever and I saw what happened to my dad. I saw what happened in other cases. I've seen people come to God because they've seen things happen in other people, right? Have you ever heard a Christian say, God is really working in my life? Have you ever said it? That's a great praise. But here's the complete true statement. What we need to realize, even as Christians, God's always working in everyone's life. He tells Christians in Matthew 6, when they're worrying and they're going through all these different areas of worry and doubt, he sort of makes it clear. He says, hey, you know, if I can feed every bird out there today, and those birds haven't sown anything, they haven't built barns, but I feed them, I make sure they have something to eat. And look out across that field. And you can imagine when Jesus was preaching that sermon, he pointed out across the flowers in there. And he says, he can clothe every one of those flowers and make them more beautiful than anything. And God does that every day. He gives this one this color and this one this color and this one this color. And God does that every day. If he does that and he's made the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars, which is not in Matthew 6, that's in this song. If he's done all that, if he has the power to do all that, basically Jesus is saying, don't you think he can work out your life? So he continually works on us. He puts people with people and things with things. And sometimes God works through the unexplainable miracle, but sometimes God works through the hardship for which a physical miracle never comes. I've went through hardships, and you've went through hardships and dilemmas. You've wondered before, is it going to work out? The doctor's told me this, and I mean, it doesn't look good. I don't know what's going to happen. Hey, I didn't get into this class, and this is going to mess my schedule up. Or, hey, am I going to make the team, and I messed up here, and I shouldn't do this? Or, I made this grade, and what's it going to do here? Or, I didn't get this job, and if I don't get this job, this is not going to work. Or, hey, I didn't say the right thing to this person, and hey, I need to be in this friend group, or I need to be with this person that I like, and this is not going to work out because they're here and they're here. And so we get all this dilemma in our mind. You ever been there? And then you pray, God, let me see your hand. Let me see something. And the miracle doesn't come. You say, yeah, where's God working then? God's working on a complete different area. Well, what do you mean? He's working in the area to see how you are in the middle of dilemma. He's working in the area to see if you trust him, to see if you're patient, to see if you'll stay true, to see if you're that kind of child of his. See, this situation humbles a person and causes them to turn to God because they run out of their own answers. You see, just like the children innocently, a lot of them think, I don't need to be worked on. I'm good enough already. We don't want to admit it. We think that too. We're smart enough. We've got enough resources. We don't need to be worked on. We're good. He has a way of humbling us to see that all of us need work, right? And you might think, well, God's just wasting his time on some people because they're never going to give God credit. They're just going to get out of life what they can get out of life. But let me assure you, not one second of God has ever been wasted on anyone. I'm going to explain this a little bit later, but even the unbeliever, all the things that God works to do in that unbeliever's life, you say, well, God did it in vain because that believer is not going to trust him. There's people out here that defy God. They believe against God. If the Bible says it, they believe against it. They reject him. They don't want his name here. I see it all the time. They don't want you to pray here. They don't want his name here. You see it too, right? You say, well, God, he's not still working in their life. Yes, he is. I want to show you why. You say, why would he? I want to show you why. The Bible is going to show us why. He continually works. Now, there are two major reasons. Either that person that God reveals himself to will recognize that they need to submit to him. They'll believe in him. And they'll ask for his salvation through Jesus. Either that's going to happen, or we don't think about this. They'll be judged one day by God because they refused to accept his salvation when he revealed himself to them. God's work is going to apply in one of those situations. And the Bible is going to show us today in a couple of different ways. I want you to remember this one thing. God works on us by revealing himself to us. And so God revealing himself to us will either be used for our blessing or for our cursing. For a blessing or a cursing? If God revealed himself to you, but you didn't acknowledge it and you didn't accept it, would that be for your blessing? Absolutely not. It'd be for your cursing. God reveals himself to people all the time to put them in situations where they hear the gospel. If they refuse the gospel, will that revealing be to their blessing? No, it will be to their what? And who did that? They did. God's going to reveal himself, but it's up to us to what we do with it. You see, if we recognize God in our situations of life when he reveals himself to us, then we need to give him glory. We need to praise him for working in our lives, whether it be a miracle or a test of patience or a test of trusting him to handle a situation that we don't have the answer for. No matter what, God is working in our lives and we need to praise him for whatever work he's doing. You say, oh, well, that sounds good. You need to praise him for bad things. Listen, when you get to the point of realizing God is working, can I give you an example? I want to. It dawned on me this week, and it went right along with the sermon. I was trying to, and I'll get practical with you. I was trying to put a 220 stove plug on a stove. You know, you never have, if the stove comes with three, you got one with four. If it comes with four, right? So you got to change it out. And I had to change the whole, I didn't have to change off the stove. I had to change it out of the wall. It was just an ancient stove plug. And I was just working on something for somebody. I tried to change it. Now, I don't know if you know this about it, but maybe this will stick in your mind. All right. God orchestrated this. But this little stove plug has little clamps. You have to clamp onto the 220 wire coming out of the house, right? There's two little screws that are about less than a quarter of an inch long. Less than a quarter of an inch long. Flathead, by all means. I mean, you just got to hit the one slit and get it in there. See what I was born with? You see these mitts? I don't even have feeling in the first quarter inch of my fingers, much less to hold a quarter inch screw to get it in there, right? So I got to get all this to work. So I work on it for an hour and 45 minutes. It's a 10-minute job. I just want to tell you, it's a 10-minute job. Hour and 45 minutes. There were thoughts that came across. Visions, right? Do you know during that hour and 45 minutes, I would just sit back. Because I was at a strength, you know, you're over here. I would sit back and I would talk to the Lord and say, Lord, you know what? I know my challenge. I know I'm being challenged right here. And I know you got me in this situation. Now, I'm not saying anything. I haven't always been, believe me, I got a history. But that's what makes this so much better. Lord, I know you're doing this. And I know, you know, if you want me to do it, I'm going to do it. You know where I need to go after this. You know where I need to be. You know what's going on. And I'm just saying, hour and 45 minutes. I sat back probably and talked to the Lord at least 10 times in that hour and 45 minutes. At least 10 times. I said, Lord, you remember how my patience used to be when I would have just got up and kicked my way around this stove and I'd have tore the top off of it or yanked that wire out of there or called somebody or then I'd have sheetrock repair. You remember those days? Right? Do you remember those days, Lord? And look what you've done to me. It's a stove plug, you know? And I would sit there and, yeah, was I aggravated? Yeah, but then I would talk to the Lord. You know what? Guess what he was doing? I was working on a stove. He was working on me. When I got through, I thought to myself, thank you, Lord. Thank you for that hour and 45 minutes. I was just flitting around here. I was doing this and that. Thank you. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. And everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Give thanks in everything. You say, can you give thanks in everything? God wouldn't put it in his word unless you can give thanks in everything. When it falls to pieces, give him thanks. Why? He's working on you. Why? To make you better. You're a work in progress. And I want to give you the three reasons why God is continually working on us. You're going to fall in one of these categories, why God works on you. And we need to know that he has specific ways that he works in everybody's life to reveal himself to us. And specific reasons. We need to know that God loves us so much that he's continually working on us. And what we need to realize is that everything that God does in his work for us has a purpose to make us better, right? It may be because we need to realize what we've done. We need to acknowledge it. You know, some of us, even as Christians, don't acknowledge when God does something for us. So it works in our life in those different ways. The first way that he works in man's life, he continually works on unbelievers. He works on who? Now tell me again, who's he work on? For those of you think that God's not working in their lives, God's working on unbelievers. He had to work on every one of us to get us to him, right? So this is the first way you need to remember. He works on unbelievers to bring them into fellowship with him and into a relationship with him through us recognizing God when he reveals himself to us. It's so that these people will accept his salvation through Jesus. This could be through a witness of somebody that God's put in their lives or by circumstance that he puts in their life. But God works in unbelievers' life either through the witness of somebody or through a dilemma they're going through. I can't tell you how many people I have met at funeral services that later off end up getting saved right up there in that office. I can't tell you how many people have went through marriage dilemmas that ended up being able to both accept the Lord Jesus Christ and their families in church. He's working. And I can't tell you the people that watch somebody else bear witness of God and wonder, why are they at peace? I want some of that. I can't believe God's blessing them like this. They're doing the same thing I am, and they seem happy. They're bearing witness of God working in their life. He's revealing himself through other people. So God reveals himself to unbelievers. This was Jesus' job, even when he was doing the miracles. Luke 19:10 says, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. You want a job description? Jesus said, here's my job description, to seek and to save everybody that's lost. How are you going to seek and save somebody unless you reveal yourself to them? Here I am. I love what Paul said in the book of Romans, chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. He says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God," listen, "revealed from faith to faith, that it is written, the just shall live by faith." Do you know that God's intent is to reveal himself to every single person? I don't care if it's somebody that's listened to 100 sermons or somebody that's secluded and they see the sun come up and wonder, how's the sun coming up? God is going to reveal to them, it is me that's making it come up. And God's going to work in their life to reveal himself to them. Or God's a liar. Which one? Of course he's going to reveal himself. That's what he does. So he works, first of all, to reveal himself. He's working in unbelievers. Secondly, God works on a daily basis after we accept Jesus, for us to come into a relationship with him, to bring us closer to him. So he either works to bring us to him, or number two, he works to bring us closer to him. He wants us to respond to him. Do you realize that? He wants us to pray and communicate with him. He wants us to praise him. He wants us to give him glory. He wants us to thank him for what he does in our lives and recognize that he's revealing himself to us. He's constantly working to bless our lives so that we can see him working. He does that. Case in point, sometimes Angie will just put that super clean. Now, she keeps the house always clean, but sometimes it's just that mojo clean on there, man. Where I get out of the truck in the carport, I got a nose, man, and I smell cleaner, right? Before I even get in the house. And I walk in and everything is just pristine, everything is nice, and everything. I love it, right? She spent hours in there making sure everything is just good. Then there's sometimes she's been working so hard to get everything clean. I had hours. She's done this little stuff for me, a little stuff for me. But by the time I get out, man, I got this going on. I'm thinking this. I'm planning what's going to, and I got to get here. Let me get changed so I can get back out here. I get all the way to the back, and I'm getting ready. I'm doing something. She said, "Did you notice the house was clean? Did you notice what I," and sometimes she'll get me a gift or something. She's went somewhere, and she bought something. She said, "Did you notice what I got you on the," "No, I didn't notice." You know why? Because I was wrapped up in me. I didn't notice all the work you put in. I didn't notice all the effort. I didn't notice that you had done all these things. I didn't notice that you were working for me. And I start thinking, God help me. I walk through this life every day from situation to situation, from dilemma to dilemma, from time frame to time frame, from daily planner to daily planner, from phone call to phone call, and so many times I forget God is busy working on me and I never acknowledge that I work all the way through his house and I never think, God, you got my life smelling good. You've blessed me so much. You've done all these things. God, I'm sorry. I've been here and I've been so busy looking at this and thinking about this stuff. It's no different than what I've done to her, right? How many of us Christians fail to see the beauty in a day, the glory in the day? How many of us fail to recognize God working for us? You know what? He just wants our glory and praise. He wants us to recognize he's revealed himself to us. Oh, help me, Lord, right? And then there's those other times where he puts that dilemma in our lives. He puts these dilemmas in a believer's life. And what they basically are ways that are intended to strengthen the relationship between us and him. If you're a believer, you need to know that God's going to reveal himself to us every day in many ways, and our biggest challenge is not to be so involved in ourselves and our plan that we fail to see him working to bring us to him. You say, hey, this job isn't working out and I thought this job was going to be my security. Hey, I'm not where I need to be financially. Hey, my health isn't working out. Hey, my relationship isn't working out because of this factor and this factor. Hey, this thing didn't happen. Hey, the stove plug isn't working. Hey, what in the world is going on? God's working on you. He's working on you. Make you better. You say, that's not good of him. No, listen. He's working on you to make you better. His better. He'll give you test of obedience so that he can reward you. He'll let you know that when you're not living in his will, things are not going to work out. They can't. So he reveals himself to you. Instead of the smoke that comes out behind of an airplane that says, hey, you should not be doing this. That's what we want to see, isn't it? Hey, I remember thinking to myself, praying this one time, God, let me see something on a billboard. Are you kidding me? Let me see something on a billboard. And God's trying to say, hey, how about looking at your life, pal? Is your life falling to pieces? Yes. It's because you're out of my will. There's your billboard. I'm going to reveal myself to you in the dilemma that's in your life. But I don't have to always be out of the will of God to have dilemma. I could be in the will of God and have dilemma. Why? Because sometimes I just need to fall to him and say, Lord, I trust you. I don't know how it's going to work. I don't know what's going to happen. It doesn't look good, but I trust you completely. At that time, guess what God does? Hold on, let's step back a second. Guess what God does when he says, I completely trust you? You remember Moses standing up on there? I know you're thinking about Charlton Heston, but when he raised that thing up, let me show you what happens when I trust you. Whew! Let me part your problem. Let me walk you through this. Sometimes it's just a test of trust, a test of faith. Listen, wisest man in the world, Solomon. My son, forget not my law, but let thy heart keep my commandments. Talking about being obedient. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck and write them upon the table of thy heart. God's saying, be true to me. Be faithful to me. So that thou shalt find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. Acknowledge him in all thy ways. Acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Again, he's saying, when you meet these situations, you're going to see. Part of our downfall is thinking we're wise enough to know everything. He's talking about faithfulness. Now listen. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with thy first fruits of all thine increase, so that thy barns shall be filled with plenty and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. All that verse, all those verses were telling you, God, number one, loves you. If something is happening to you, it could be for your correction. If it is, then know God loves you enough to say, I'm going to make sure that you don't run out in the road and get run over again. I'm trying to bring you back in. I'm trying to bless you, but you keep staying out here. Listen to me. I love you. I'm trying to do this. And then he's saying, if you recognize God and praise him, and I tell these young married couples, these first things they need to put in their life to make sure they've got their life in order so that they have God in the middle of their marriage and they're active and they're worshiping together and they're praying together and they're tithing together, they're giving to God together. You know what he says? He says, hey, listen, if you're faithful in trusting me with all areas of your life, I want to tell you something. I'll make your barns overflow. You won't outgive me. I'll be able to give you substance, and I'll be able to make your life peaceful. You know what he's talking about? Somebody being happy, not with money, but being happy. That's what he wants to give to you. He wants to reveal himself to you by blessing you in a circumstance otherwise that you couldn't be blessed. But then this third group. Now let's go to the first and second group again. The first group, God reveals himself to unbelievers, right? Second group, he reveals himself to who? Believers. Third group, God reveals himself to are the unbelievers that keep rejecting him. Now get this. You think, why would he do this? There are unbelievers that are going to be listening to me today. They've never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Either here today or by way of radio or maybe the website or who knows how it gets to them. And God's revealing himself to them today again. Here's an opportunity to come to God, to accept Jesus as your Savior. Here's an opportunity to confess your sin, confess that you're a sinner and ask him to be your Lord. And they'll reject him. Hopefully they won't, but some may reject him. And there's some that's rejected him and rejected him. Do you realize that God will keep revealing himself to them for this reason? So that they will clearly see that they've rejected him. You say, what do you mean? Get this. There's going to be a time in life where every single one of us, lost or saved, stand before God. But the lost will stand before God in what the book of Revelation calls a white throne judgment. That judgment will be when their name is not written in the Lamb's book of life. Now get this, because we don't look into this deeply enough. But do you realize that every man is judged? The Bible says judged according to his works. Okay, now you don't get salvation by works. Well, whose works? Guess who's working for every man? Guess what God does? When that person stands before him that has continually rejected the salvation that God's offered, continually rejected the truth of God, the existence of God, the power of God, the salvation of God through Christ Jesus, when that person's continually rejected that, do you realize that when God says, your name is, or Jesus says, your name is not written in the Lamb's book of life, you're cast into the lake of fire. That's the death sentence, eternal death sentence. You know what people are going to say? Can I tell you? That's not fair. You know what God's going to say? Looks here to me like you sat in this many services and heard the gospel and you rejected me. Looks to me like I put that person in your life when you were in elementary school, junior high school, one in college, two that you worked with, and you kept rejecting me even though they would bear witness of me. Looks like Anthony talked to you, Keith talked to you, Wendy and Tracy, they talked to you. Looks to me like I had you tune in and your TV was stuck on that sermon that day and it wouldn't even change, your remote was broken. I let you listen to that whole sermon that told you how to be saved and you blew it off and you laughed at it. Looks to me like you saw these things happen. I have a full account of every time that you've rejected me. I've been working in your life since your life began and you've rejected those times. Can you refute that? No. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity, into the everlasting fire. You get it? Do you ever think about God working in an unbeliever's life like that? You know why God would do that? Because God wants everybody that go to hell to know he is a just God. I hear people say God isn't fair. Do you know that one day every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord? Every person in hell will know why they're there. Why will they know? Because God will reveal, I've been working on you and you've kept rejecting me. And what will we be judged for, Christians? The Bible says in the book of 1 Corinthians that you're going to be judged according to the works you've done after you're saved, whether they're wood, hay, or stubble, whether they're burned up, or whether they're precious stones. And when you hit a dilemma, God says that's going to be like gold that's refined. He's working on you to refine you, to make you better. He's going to bless you so that you can bear witness, so that he can work on other people. God's working all the time. So I end today by asking you this question, if you can answer it, please. In the three ways that God is working on me, in the ways that God is working on us that we discuss, either to bring us to him, to bring us closer to him, or to have evidence at our judgment to prove that we're guilty and that he is just. That's the three ways. I need to proclaim to you today that he is working on you. He is working on me. Now, I want you to stop and think. You answer this question. Which way is he working on you? Which one of these three ways? Is he working today to bring you to him? Have you ever accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Do you know that you have to pray and ask God to use the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus? You have to accept and believe that in your heart and ask God to forgive your sins and to come into your heart and be your Savior. He's trying to get you to do that. That's why he keeps working on you. And you can do it today. And you can become that person that's the second way. Are you that second person where God's working on you as a believer, but he's working on you to bring you closer to him? And how are you doing with that? Are you acknowledging all that God's doing to bring you closer to Him? Are you walking all the way through life like I walked through that house so busy that I can't even see that God's done all this work for me? Am I missing it every day? When's the last time I really just talked to Him and praised Him? When's the last time? When's the last time I just poured my heart out to Him and said, thank you for working for me. Thank you for working for me in my marriage and with my children. Thank you for loving me so much you did all this stuff. Thank you so much. When's the last time I just acknowledged it? When's the last time that I looked on something that was bad and just said, God, thank you. I know it's in my life for a reason. I'm trusting you with it. But if you're that person that's refused when you've heard the gospel, you need to ask yourself, am I that third group? I know God's worked on me. I know He's working in my life because He works in everybody's life. Am I gonna hear all of His works that He did for me one day? Am I going to hear the list of how I rejected Him time after time? You're in one of those groups today. You're one of those people. You're either unbeliever, a believer, or a chronic unbeliever that keeps rejecting. Ask God which one you are. He'll reveal it to you today because He wants you to come to Him. He wants you to respond to Him. You know, there's something amazing about when somebody reveals themselves to you. You know, if there's somebody that you really love, that you really want to see, and how many of you love the Lord? You love the Lord. If there's somebody that you really want to see, let's just say that I want to see Angie so bad, and I love her. And I've been away from her. And I got busy, and I haven't spent any time with her. And I happen to be somewhere, and she walks into the room. You know, when she walks into the room, I need to acknowledge her. She's revealed herself to me. Or when she comes out and we're getting ready to go somewhere, you know, I usually say, man, you look good. You look good. But if she came out and she had already revealed herself to me and this and that, I never turned around. I was just busy, involved in something. I didn't really respond to her revealing, for her working to do so much to make me happy, right? I think we do God like that, don't we? He tries to reveal Himself to us, and we're around Him and in His presence, but we just get caught up in it, don't we, Christians? He wants us to be able to turn our head when He reveals Himself to us. Not be so busy that we can't see, God, I saw you working in this miracle, I saw you working in it, but God, even in this dilemma, I know you're working in it. I know you are. Can I tell you the peace and happiness you'll walk around in this life with? It will be unfathomable. You ask yourself which situation you're in today. Ask yourself which category. Are you the unbeliever, the believer, or the chronic unbeliever that keeps rejecting? And when you ask yourself that, then ask yourself, how are you responding to all the work that He's doing for you? Is it a gracious thank you? Is it I'm glad to see you? Is it I know you love me or I trust you? Or is it just looked over as just a dilemma of life? Father God, I love you and I praise you. And I just pray, God, that you speak to hearts today. I pray, God, that we're able to see you working in our lives in all these different ways. I pray, God, that Christians are able to respond to you today. Lord, believers are able to respond to you, to bow in front of you, and, Lord, to be able to confess that maybe we've gotten too busy to notice all the work that you've done, the love that you've had for us, the care that you've given to us. I pray, God, that you would just minister to believers today. Lord, I pray for unbelievers today, those that have never accepted your Son Jesus as Savior. I pray that today, Lord, they would see their need for salvation. They would see you revealing themselves and that they don't fall into that third group. I pray, God, that they come to salvation knowledge today and that you begin to draw them closer to you. Lord, give them boldness today to recognize which situation, which category they're in. Lord, move in this invitation, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.